Our scripture text for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. I invite you to turn there with me, and if you would stand as we read from God's holy word, Luke 8, 4 through 15. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell in the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in good soil, they are those who, hearing the word of God, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. May you teach us today what you want us to know, and may we have receptive hearts to accept what it is that you are telling us, Lord, and believe it truly in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we've got another parable here, as we had a few weeks ago, and I want to take a similar method with this so that when you come across parables in the Bible, you can follow a similar process to understanding what it is saying to you. And so first, we need to take a look at what the parable says, take it for what it is, try to understand the illustration that is being used in the parable. Then we need to interpret the parable, figure out the characters and what the point of that parable is, and then we need to apply it to our life. So first of all, let's look at the parable. And as we talked about in the children's message, this is a fairly easy picture to understand when you recognize that farming happened in a very different way back in those days. And there would be, at times, people casting seeds just by hand and sowing them out. And it's not like with our big machinery now, planting them in very precise rows. And so the picture is that seed would fall in various kinds of soils and in different places. As Jesus tells this, he points out that some falls along the path. And the path, I mean, what do we know about that? It's hard, isn't it? And it will not receive that seed. And so the seed doesn't penetrate into it. It sits on top of it. It's nearby it, but it doesn't get in. It's so close to getting into that soil, but the soil's just too hard. In the rocks, there might be little bits of soil, there might be little bits of nutrients in there, but there's really just not enough to grow a healthy root system. And when you don't have a healthy root system for a plant, I mean, it could fall over easily, but here the example is that when the sun comes up, it doesn't have the root system to get water and nutrients, so it's not healthy enough. And that sun that comes out, which we know is also an important part of the plant growing, but only when the plant is actually healthy and nourished, that sun withers that malnourished plant. So it springs up for a time and then quickly withers away in the sun. And in the thorns, so we know about that, don't we? Thorns and weeds out in the fields. How many farmers are fighting against those? Not to mention rock picking on your fields. I didn't mention that before, but the thorns, they are such a problem. They get everywhere. They are stealing nutrients. They are taking the place of these plants. They're growing stronger. They choke them out. And then there's the good soil. And this is a soil full of nutrients and makes me think about the soil that is fertilized or somehow that the nutrients have been placed there, maybe, that has a water source. You know, plants need water to grow, whether it's rain or somebody manually doing it, bringing the water in there, but it needs that to grow. And the ground, usually it has been tilled up. It's soft, right? It's been broken up, and probably the farmers removed the thorns and rocks from this. But this is a great place to receive this seed, and the result will most assuredly, without all of these other troubles and with the proper things here, this seed will grow strong and healthy and bear fruit. Notice something here, too, that the seeds are being cast in various types of places, but the seed is always effective and working. But there's different results because of the different soils and what it does with the word. So that's going to be helpful as we go along here. Now, many of the parables don't have an interpretation. And we're left to, at this point, to wonder what this means, to try to figure it out on our own. And when it comes to that, you could be pretty puzzled. And actually, when we look at our text, the disciples, the close ones to Jesus, were puzzled. And they asked Jesus what he meant by it. And this is one of the curious places in Scripture where he actually also gives an explanation of why he talks in parables. And it's maybe different than what you'd expect. You might think parables are given to be a great sermon illustration. Hey, I can visualize this, and this is something I can really connect with. But there's more going on here. Jesus explains that for some it's been given for them to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. They've been given help in understanding this, and I think we must understand that this is the Holy Spirit working on people. And so those who are believing and have the Holy Spirit enlightening their mind and guiding their heart, they are able to connect with this parable and understand its real point, its real message. But notice that isn't even maybe even the most important reason or the most prominent reason that Jesus uses parables. It says in verse 10, but for others they are in parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Essentially, this is so that those who are hardening their hearts or unbelieving would actually not get the message. And you'll notice that the Pharisees and opposers of Jesus throughout the Gospels do not get the parables, do not properly apply them. And actually, we see that this is actually a form of judgment of God against people who are hard-hearted against him. But thankfully, in this parable, Jesus gives us the interpretation. And this may be able to help guide us as we look at other parables, too, to see how Jesus did this. But if we look at verses 11 and following in our text, 11 through 15, we see Jesus' interpretation. He explains that this seed that we're talking about, that is cast about, is the Word of God. And the casting then would be the proclaiming of the Word of God. And the ones along the path are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And so there are some who apparently the soil of their heart or soul is hard to the word of God. And the result of that then is that the devil, this fallen angel and his followers, comes and snatches away the word of God that they could have believed and found life and salvation with. And so some have this hard heart and the devil opposing them. And then there are those, it says in verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. They will believe for a while and a time of testing fall away. When I was thinking about this, I immediately thought about Bible camp experiences, especially mountaintop experiences like at our fly convention in Colorado, where you have this amazing spiritual experience and there's like 2,000 kids up there every time, and so many people are moved. And yet when we go down from the mountaintop, our life is pretty rocky and full of trouble. And that faith that sprung up so quickly often is quickly wilting away in the heat of the sun and trials. And so we've got this weak root system for them. That is a malnourished person who doesn't get fed by the word of God. And then we've got those who fall among thorns. And it does grow, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and the fruit does not mature. It's choked out. And then there's the good soil, those who, hearing the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So Jesus has told us what these different things mean in there, but still, what do we make of this? What do we take away from this parable? As we think about the different soils and different conditions of the people who are receiving the word of God, we should examine our own hearts, especially in light of these different types of soil, these different heart attitudes toward the gospel. First off is the road, this hardness of heart. Maybe most famously, when we think about a hard heart in the Bible, we think of Pharaoh. And if you remember in Exodus, when God's people were in captivity under Pharaoh, he was told by God through Moses, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh, he didn't want to listen. He hardened his heart. And God told him over and over. He even sent all these plagues. And after every plague, he said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh further hardened his heart against God. He trusted in his own ability. You know, Pharaohs thought that they were gods. They thought they were one amongst other gods too. And they thought, well, I don't need this other god. I don't need to listen to him because I can take care of myself. I make the rules in my life and around here. And in pride and arrogance, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And he didn't trust the word of the living God, the God of Moses. So as he hardened his heart over and over, he became so unreceptive to the word of God. Eventually, he did break and for a moment in those plagues after the worst of them took his son from him and the male children of Egypt. But then, again, after he thought about it for a moment, he hardened his heart again and pursued the people. You know, it's interesting. We might look at Pharaoh and say, oh yeah, sure, that pagan king that obviously had a wrong belief system, you know, guys like that, it's easy for them to harden their heart. But you know what happened right after that? Right after God delivered his people from that very Pharaoh and miraculously brought them through the Red Sea, through walls of water and drowned Pharaoh's army, guess who hardened their heart? God's people, the Israelites. They grumbled and complained and hardened their hearts. And Hebrews chapter 3 talks all about this. Bringing this to mind again and uses this language that they hardened their hearts against God. They went astray. They complained against God. They preferred the bondage and slavery and abuse of Pharaoh to what God had for them in the wilderness. And as a punishment for them, they were not allowed to enter the promised land that was flowing with milk and honey. And they had to die in the wilderness for their unbelief. This is a picture, too, for us, because the rest, the promised land that they were promised, was a picture of a greater rest, a greater promised land of heaven, of eternity with God. And in Hebrews 3, we're warned that we should not be like them and hardening our hearts against God and complaining against Him, but to trust Him. If we harden our hearts against Him, we will be lost and not allowed to enter the rest, the promised land of heaven. We should trust in God. You know, the Pharisees in the New Testament are probably the ones who get the most blame for hardening their hearts. We think of them first. We think of the other spiritual or religious leaders at that time. And they opposed Jesus. They were hearing Him speak. They were watching His miracles. And they hardened their hearts. The Son of God, the Messiah, was standing right in front of them. And they were supposed to be the people looking for Him. And yet they didn't receive what Jesus said. They didn't receive Jesus because they were so hard in their heart. But you know, we forget too that these Pharisees are actually not too different than the church. They were the religious people. They were the people of the Word. They were the people that cared about what God said, at least supposedly. I think one of the most compelling stories, expose something in your own heart too, is the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. That Pharisee was praying and he looked over and saw this tax collector whom they all hated, this lawbreaker. And he looked over at him and he said, "Lord, thank you that I'm not like that guy over there." You know, how often are we struggling with this and we think we're good church people? You know, I go regularly. I read the Bible. I try to follow those laws, and hey, I think I'm doing pretty well at that. I'm doing a whole lot better than that other guy over there. You know, that is hardness of heart. That is not receiving the grace and Word of God into your heart, but it's trying to stand alone like you're so tough and you can do it on your own. Let me tell you, there's risk for you because that Word of God then is not penetrating your heart and bringing life and health and bearing fruit in you. Instead, it is near to you but not in you. And the devil will come and snatch it away and you will be lost. Do not harden your heart or think with pride about yourself and judgment of your neighbor, but receive this Word of God with a soft heart instead. In Deuteronomy 30, it talks about how the Word of God has come so close to people. It's not far away in heaven that you need to go and look for it. You don't need to climb some ladder up into heaven and try to go get the Word of God. It's not in the bottom of the sea that you need to go get scuba gear and go diving for it and looking for it. But the Word of God is near to you, is in your mouth and your heart, God says. He says, "See, I have set before you life and good, death and evil." God has brought His Word directly to you. Even now, as I proclaim the Word of God, this seed has been cast into your soil. But will it be received or will it be held off? Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that He may have compassion on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." On the rocky ground, there are these roots that can't get enough nourishment, can't go down deep. When one storm comes, they'd fall over. When one trial hits, the sun shining down on them, they wither and fade and die away. You know, there are many people that claim to follow God and be willing to do whatever he says, and they'd even be glad to do it. But you know, when you tell them the hard news of the way of Jesus, they say, well, you know, actually that doesn't sound so great. I prefer things the way they are. I think I'll just keep going on without God. And that's what happened in Jesus' day. There were masses following Jesus. Think of all the people that he served, the wedding at Cana, the thousands that he twice fed with bread, multiplying bread and fish, filling the bellies of thousands, doing miracles in public and having big crowds following him. And they were pretty excited as long as they had a great show and a full belly. But you know what? When he stopped filling their belly and started talking to them about the truth of life and eternity, repentance and faith, you know, it got a little hard. And they started fading away, looked for their meal elsewhere. And it dwindled on down through Jesus' ministry on earth on his way to the cross. People weren't wanting to take up their cross and follow him. And at the end, Jesus was left there with his mama, a couple close friends, and some mockers. People hanging him there on the cross. Where were the masses that followed him? Were so infatuated with him for a time. They were gone. Because things had gotten hard and dark as Jesus went to the cross. I think what we need to hear here is that we need to plant ourselves in good soil. We need to have our roots go down deep and drink deeply. The Bible says in Psalm 1 that the Word of God is like a stream, ever-flowing fresh water that comes to nourish a tree. You need to drink deeply from the Word of God because it will strengthen you. It will strengthen your faith. It will build you up. And you will be able to withstand the trials of this life. The thorny ground, it says these are the thorns of the cares and riches of this life. Think of the rich young ruler that talked to Jesus, and man, he was good at following the law, followed all the Ten Commandments. And what more can I do, Jesus? What do I need to do? Jesus, knowing his heart and what he was really struggling with, the thorns in his life of wealth and greed, he said, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. You know, this man left sad because he was, instead of holding on to the word of Jesus, he's holding on to his wealth with his greed, and it choked him out. Judas, too. This one who was so close to Jesus, hearing the word of Jesus and watching him so intimately, closely, all the way through, and yet hardened his heart and allowed himself to be overtaken by these thorns, these cares of this life, and he was stealing from their pocketbook, from their purse, throughout that ministry, instead of taking in the word of God. In the end, he was so overtaken by his greed, he traded Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And when he was broken, even in shame after that, he was lost in despair. But there's this good soil. I talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and I didn't mention much about the tax collector, this sinner. But you know what? He was a broken man, like broken up, tilled up soil. And as he was praying before God, he was saying, Lord, forgive me. He knew he was a great sinner and he didn't deserve to even go before God. He was broken up. But he was so receptive to the word of God and it planted itself deeply in his heart and grew. That was true faith. That's what we need. We need to be broken before the Lord and receive his blessing. The word of God, the seed in all of this, is the star of this show. And notice that in all of these stories, the problem is never with the seed. In fact, it always is producing. We read in our other texts from Isaiah 55 about the effectiveness of the word of God, that it goes and produces. It's always accomplishing its purpose that it was set out for. And God's word comes to you even today, full of power and effect. Don't hold it out. Let it come in and work on you. I think as we finish applying this, we need to ask, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil am I? As we do that, I think there's a couple of mistakes you could make. You might say, you know, those other kind of soils, they sound pretty bad. I'm glad I'm good soil. You know, I think if that's your attitude, you're probably deceiving yourself. Scripture says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Because anybody who was good soil would say, I'm not good soil. I'm struggling. I've got thorns in my life. I feel like my life is rocky. I feel like my heart is hard. Don't deceive yourselves. The other mistake I think you can make in this is if you recognize that you're hard-hearted to God's word and that you have all these struggles in your life, think that I need to make myself into this good soil to receive God's word and get eternal life. Let me tell you, it's the farmer who does the work. And in Scripture, who is always the farmer? Who is always the gardener? It's God. Guess who's the one who does the hard work and goes, picks out the rocks and pulls the weeds? Guess who breaks up the ground? It's the farmer. Guess who's the one who tends it, prunes the plants, and waters it? It's the gardener, Jesus, our God. What you need to do at this point, if you recognize your need for Him to pick rocks in your life or pull thorns or till up the ground, is you need to trust Him to do that work in you and not try to do it on your own. But let me tell you, He wants to do that. He's pursuing you. He's giving you His word, and He wants to do this work in your life. I want to close with just a few verses here. First from Hebrews 3, where it says, and again, this is a warning to not be like those rebellious Israelites. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And in Romans 10, hear these words as Paul quotes from that passage in Deuteronomy we looked at earlier. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches. It's like casting that seed out on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's good to examine your heart today and truly ask yourself what kind of soil you are. But when you see, if you're honest, that you are hard, rocky, and full of thorns, you need to call upon the Lord. And that farmer, that gardener, will come into your life, sow good seed, and work that ground in your heart. And He will bring you into the promised land of heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this good word. And I thank You, too, for Your explanation. Because it puzzles us. Lord, we need Your Holy Spirit to guide us in understanding Your word. We pray that as we go from this place, that we would truly examine our heart and our life and recognize our need for You to come in and work on us. May we not hold You back, not resist You and harden our hearts, but accept You, Lord, in brokenness, like that tax collector who knew that he didn't deserve to even pray to You. To look to You also with faith, trusting that You will do this good work in us and bring life and health and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.